This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. The trade organization AVIXA invests a lot of time, resources, and dollars into trying to get a handle on what's going on in the audiovisual industry, and regularly publishes reports, briefs, and even video explainers for its members. One of the big efforts is an annual industry overview, and the most recent one provides a picture of an industry that got kicked really hard in the shins in 2020, but appears to be coming out of it now. Sean Wargo, AVIXA's Senior Director of Market Intelligence, and economic analyst Peter Hansen kindly set some time aside to walk through some of the findings, and they drilled down a little bit more specifically into how digital signage was impacted in the last 18 months or so, and how things look going forward. The good news is things are already looking up, and the forecast is pretty darn sunny for AV and digital signage. Hi guys, thanks for joining me. AVIXA does a lot of research about what's going on in the marketplace. You recently pushed out a big one. What's that all about and what did you find? I know that's a big question.
Sure, Dave. Happy to be here. So we do a industry forecasting effort every year that we refresh every year. We call it our Industry Outlook Trends Analysis, IOTA. Since we're a tech industry, we have to have acronyms, of course.
Of course.
But the idea is that we're hoping to essentially provide guidance on size and direction of all things pro AV. We've drawn a pretty big definition for what that means. So some more IT sounding technologies are sometimes included. Long story short, though, the idea there is revenue forecasts that companies can use to kind of see where the opportunities lie, challenges, et cetera. As you can imagine, particularly important as we come out of the pandemic and are looking towards the recovery.
Now, is that something that as an AVIXA member is expected? Or is it kind of a bonus part of membership? I mean, I don't belong to a whole bunch of industry associations, so I don't know if this is normal or something you just saw a hole and decided needed to be filled.
Several years ago, the board was recognized. So actually, maybe back up a sec. Yes, in the sense that most trade associations will do some sort of industry forecasting effort. AVIXA, formerly known as Infocom, had studies that had done through the years. What we decided to do a few years ago is kind of step up the game a little bit, go a bit deeper, broader with our kind of analysis and expand upon that forecasting effort. So we have a two-part offering to the marketplace. There is a lot of that research that we will share to the membership, whether in the form of briefings, webinars, presentations that Peter and I will do out to the membership to kind of help them understand the broader trends. But we also offer it as a paid offering. So dashboards, deep reports, forecasting notes, a whole bunch of additional deliverables that a company can buy into for those that are really needing to immerse themselves in data to make strategic decisions. So a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. It's as somebody who spends all this time looking at this industry and writing about it, one of the challenges I've found is finding useful, relevant, trustworthy information about digital signage in particular. There are endless reports that you can see pop up on Google Alerts, but they're all coming out of India. Mm-hmm. And the handful of what I would call legitimate research companies that are taking a look at this space are also generally looking at other stuff. So there's this real sort of absence of focused information about AV and particularly signage. At least it seems that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely true. I think it's there are a lot of offerings out in the marketplace for market research about any given topic, especially if it has any currency. If there's any, say, buzz happening in the marketplaces, plural, about a certain issue, you're going to find a lot of studies that you can subscribe to. I think we wanted to approach it as an industry kind of insider, having direct need for the information ourselves. We recognized that there was a gap, as you're kind of noting, for digital signage, conference and collaboration, all the bits and parts of the industry just really weren't well captured, measured, forecasted, et cetera. So it was part of why we stood up this improved version of Forecast a few years back. Also because while you might find, say, bits and pieces, research on a certain segment, there's not a lot available that tells you the complete package, the complete story of Pro AV. Mm. We recognize, though, as you're kind of noting by the lack of offerings in the marketplace, what that's telling you is there's not a lot of people that know a lot about the business. And so we also wanted to make sure we partnered with a company, Omdia in this case, who had broad subject matter expertise, lots of analysts covering the underlying product categories, to provide the provide that kind of expert analyst commentary and input to crafting a forecast. So methodology and vetting of partner was really important to us as we built this out as well.
What's the important stuff that people, that companies should be paying attention to? I mean, I get asked every week by somebody, you know, what's the total addressable market for digital signage or for workplace digital signage or whatever it may be. And I also see endless presentations that assign a value to the overall digital signage marketplace, whether it's North American or global. And I look at this big ass number and think, okay, well, that's an impressive number. But what does that mean? And is it meaningful for a company? Or is it just a big number to impress people?
It's a great point. And I think, you know, what you're hinting at is it's a starting point. So what a lot of companies are looking for, let's pick a manufacturer as an example. A manufacturer, if you're a display manufacturer, you're wanting to see how big that TAM is, that total addressable market. So you can calculate things like market share. You can plot your own growth forecasts off of it. You can say, all right, well, if the market's growing at 8% compound annual growth rate, we're expecting better or worse based upon our specific situation. You know, maybe we can do better and get to 16 or 20. So it's a starting point. It's a reference point. What a lot of companies are looking for is that kind of reference point, whether it's global to a specific geographic area, to a specific product segment, to a particular market they're serving. They need input into and validation or a challenge to, say, inside expectations. So that's what we're hoping and wanting to provide out there, is that third-party view of a market situation, understanding that, yeah, in some cases, that big, fat, global number that everybody likes to point out is, wow, billions of dollars may not be useful to a very local company. But it can, when whittled down and segmented via some of the filters we offer, can provide them a TAM number they can then use for inputs to craft their own forecast. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I would add there as well is just that it's everyone disagrees about what like a TAM of a digital signage exactly means. And that's where, you know, we want to help people get like a dashboard access, right? So they can understand like, hey, dip my toes into the content side where there's server storage, transmission, and that's billions of dollars there. I'm really focused on like exclusively the screens along with maybe like the infrastructure, mounts and stands, et cetera. And so you end up with these different numbers there. And we don't, to some extent, we try to like take a stance and say like, it's a big market and like an AV company can be working with all this. But also, we allow and encourage folks to disaggregate, because we like also don't really want to take a stance. We don't say you're doing digital science, you have to do X, Y, Z. Your business should fill whatever niche it thinks it's best at. Mm-hmm. That one number, like you say, I mean, it can be a little ridiculous just to look at a single number for the perspective of most companies, because no company probably will fit exactly. I only do North America for all parts, every single product that goes into that number that is in the headlines there.
Mm-hmm. It must also be a challenge to kind of draw a distinction around what is digital signage, because I have seen no end of product pitches out there that have talked about collaboration displays as mm-hmm. being digital signage and vice versa. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, like, how do we wall this off? How do we say what digital signage is and then assign a value or a forecast?
Yeah, that's probably the most important step of the process of forecasting is your definitions phase. How are you drawing a circle around that particular segment or the industry as a whole? And as Peter's kind of talking to, we want to make sure that we're including in our definitions a broad enough opportunity set. I mean, I've seen, for example, digital signage is a great example because I've seen digital signage forecasts that really are only the displays, mm-hmm. only the displays, and that's it. Like as if digital signage was only a display on a wall. Forget the mount for a second. Forget the media servers and AV servers that are feeding the content to it. Forget the networking backend that may have to be built out to support the content distribution. So there's an ecosystem there that we, when we did our definitions phase, that we purposefully drew our circles a little bit larger, our definitions a bit broader, to allow for a company to talk about, you know what, I'm in digital signage, but I'm going to serve this particular segment of it, this particular facet of it, and that'll be my opportunity area. An example for us in signage is we include a very big number for what we call media servers, and the reason being that, as we all know, you put a display up, we kind of think of it as the hungry display, now needs to be fed, right? It needs content. And so you need servers to basically aggregate, distribute, optimize that content out. So that's a big area of spend within the signage category as a solution area. So exactly, it's the right question to be asking as you're looking at numbers is how do they define? And then, of course, how do they measure? What assumptions are they making? What inputs do they gather? Those kinds of things to evaluate the research offering.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So we're coming out of, I hope we're coming out of a very rough 17 months or so, and COVID-19 obviously had a pretty significant impact. I'm looking at a slide here that said 2020 was $214 billion mm-hmm. in revenue for the AV industry globally. What had been the expectation for 2020 prior to the pandemic?
Sure. I think when we did our forecast in 2020, it was around, well, we started it in November of 19, right? Because that's when you start mm-hmm. your forecast process. You gather your inputs. So right around March, April was the time we're looking at our numbers and saying, okay, here's what we had thought would happen. Now we have the pandemic. What do we think? What's going to be the impact as you're sitting in May? Which, you know, at that point, the assumptions we made is, gosh, this is maybe it's like many other viruses that have hit us, where it's one or two waves and then it sort of peters out. And so mm-hmm. possibly by end of 2020, the situation is improving and that there's vaccines being distributed, that most of the waves are done, all that kind of stuff. And we expected a return to business. So we expected 2020 originally to be only about a -8% in terms of revenue decline. In the end, when you look at all the surveys we did through 2022, AV providers, manufacturers, distributors, it was the final analysis said it was more like -17%. So double the decline than we originally forecast. And that's often what happens is you only know what you know at the time. You can be pessimistic or optimistic. I would say we were about middle of the road, mm-hmm. but we ended up revising that down. So the 214 number that you're looking at now is much less than it would have been in normal times, in normal trajectory. Mm-hmm. But there's an upside to that too. So because 2020 was worse, Recovery, we seem to, I echo your sentiment, we seem to be in that recovery mode meaningfully now, it looks like the trajectory coming out is even steeper. So you have bigger growth percentages in 21, in 22, and then on, it sort of starts to level out by 23 and 24. So that we're able to say by 22, we think a good portion of the globe is starting to look like what it did in 2019 and exceeding those revenue peaks as we come out of this. But yeah.
Is it deferred spend or is that money that didn't get spent in 2020 is lost and this is new budget?
It's a bit of deferred spend, certainly, but it's also adaptation. One of the big trends that we've highlighted in our reports is that, you know, pandemic was a disruptor, not just because it shut down industries and economies, but also because it forced us to shift to remote everything, work, play, education, et cetera. And there are some lingering effects to that. I think we're in an experimentation phase right now where we're trying to see what does return to work look like? Is it, how hybrid is it? How virtual, how in person? So some of the spend is adaptation. It's learning to and now emphasizing and investing in new ways of interaction, new ways of engaging audiences and workers and students, et cetera. So there's a bit of both. But I would also point to innovation. One of the things that disruption does is you start to think differently about the way you do business. And so new solution areas that we probably haven't even fully thought of yet that kind of come out of this also is the mother of growth and in investment in our industry. But we also, we look from a macroecon side. So Peter probably has some addition he can add to that in terms of how the economies and industries recover too. You know, one of the things that we cover, we have a strong macroecon section of our reports, and it does point to one of the primary things that we look at is how is GDP expected to change, recover, et cetera, as we come out of pandemic. And so that has looked brighter and brighter. 21 has a strong GDP estimate for US and many parts of the world. There are some challenge areas. But we then benefit from that. As that improves, we start to grow and improve as well. So we'll look to that economic improvement as a kind of contributor and a driver of Pro AV growth too. Not without challenges, but
yeah. Yeah. When you set your filters for kind of zeroing in on information, can you get a sense of the hit that happened overall for global AV in 2020, can you drill down to the hit on digital signage?
Yeah, so digital signage is actually one of the technologies that's been kind of most close to AV overall in the past, like last year and this year, which I think is not too surprising. I mean, we talk about AV and how it pertains to the wider economy. We usually link it kind of at the start of our presentations and the start of our reports to GDP because it's so diverse that it reflects the economy. But AV is this like really in-person specific technology in general. Thinking about like live events, like, you know, sports, museums, like but it also has like conference and collaboration, and digital signage really is a microcosm of that. So like digital signage, big solution area that's used at, we just mentioned stadiums, right? Like part of branding when people come to, you know, the mall, it's huge, right? But it's also been part of the solution. Like a grocery store needs to communicate restrictions to its customers. A fast casual restaurant, or, you know, it's a platform to use maybe for point of purchase assist as well. So it's suffered from that lack of in-person activity, but it's also been supported in some areas because it's such a flexible communication, you know, a distanced, safe way to communicate to clients. So the last year, it was, you know, a little bit over a 15% drop, and it's recovering quite strongly this year, about maybe like 12% bounce back in 2021. So kind of following the overall industry numbers with those percents.
In terms of what's happened in the past year. Obviously, a lot of it's coming back. Some of it's deferred money, some of it's new money. But when you take billions of dollars out of an industry, not everybody's going to be able to weather the storm and come back. Do you have any sense at all of what the impact was on numbers of companies and jobs?
Yeah, good question. We did some survey research in 2020 to kind of track this to see how providers were being impacted along the way. And what we were seeing is, unfortunately, a steady, let's say, 1-2% each week that were saying, gosh, you know, I've had to close my doors for good. And so there was real attrition. What was the total? It's really hard to tell because of things like stimulus and other modes of, say, sustaining your business, to where people may have gone into like almost a hibernation mode or a sustenance mode, just to kind of keep things rolling. But it looked like, in terms of attrition of individuals, so laying off, riffing employees, it was probably about an 8% decline in staffing over the firms that we're tracking and kind of we're surveying throughout the process. So yeah, real impacts to real people and real businesses for sure.
One of the interesting things that I could see happening was companies, particularly live events companies, who obviously couldn't do concerts or, you know, conferences or anything else. They, at least some of them, pivoted and started doing some interesting things where they were doing like virtual audiences in sports arenas and things like that. Did you see much of that? And were these things that were short-term measures, or did they turn into industries?
Yeah, the jury's a bit out in terms of how much that's going to be a lasting impact. But it's probably, so those kinds of pivots or innovations, creative uses of their skills and technology and services is what allowed live events to not go to zero. So we saw a 60% decline in revenues in live events in 2020, just a dramatic, horrific, really, impact to that business. But I think they did shift over to things like content distribution, streaming services, optimization of capture and optimization of content for then later streaming. Like you noted, they did support of virtual events. In some cases, event managers would stand up a virtual studio and still would lease some technology. I know, for example, Avixa, to support some of our events, we would rent a green room in order to do some footage that we could then port over to, put a virtual backdrop and all sorts of stuff for some of our creative presentations. But yeah, I think it's that kind of innovation that helped these businesses to at least persist, you know, through the period, if not, you know, so in some cases, perhaps shut down temporarily in order to reemerge as the businesses reemerged.
Yeah. And some things like those extended reality virtual studios just kind of came out of nowhere, but seem to be a really hot trend now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's, and you know, I'm curious to see how much of that stays, because what we've learned is that while trade shows probably, they just don't work virtual, right? I think we've all tried that, and replicating that booth-to-booth experience, the trade show floor experience, just doesn't happen very well on virtual, but a conference track does. So you can really imagine a world where, let's say, a major trade show could wrap around its edges some virtual content to kind of hype up the show before it starts, continue the long tail of content afterwards, engage audiences. And so that gives a live events company, say, opportunity on premise while the show's going on, but a tail of opportunity around events too, to help capture and distribute content. So I think there's a number of interesting business models that could come out for a live events company around this kind of audience extension, content optimization, virtual studio, all that kind of thing will be interesting to see.
If you go back 15, 16 months to March of last year, and you started to kind of look at the industry and start to do some of these forecasts, are there things that you expected to happen that didn't happen and other things that did that surprised you?
Let's see. So I would, I'd point to originally we did not expect the conference and collaboration category to boom quite as much as it ended up. So our original forecast around conference and collaboration, which in all fairness, largely was about kitting, say, conference rooms, auditoriums, in-person kinds of venues for office buildings. So we expected that industry, that market to decline a little bit. Let's say it's a few points. So not bad in an environment where most things are, you know, double, high single or low double digit declines, conference and collaboration, that's a pretty strong outcome. In the end, though, we saw a flood of money going into it consistently through licensing, through kits for remote work support, all that kind of stuff just really made up for it. So the whole support of remote was an even bigger phenomenon than we originally had forecasted, probably partially because we did, as I noted before, we kind of believed that there would be a return to more in-person stuff in earlier in the process, late 2020, and by now that we'd be pretty much for fully back. So that would be one of those things that was a bit more pronounced than we had originally thought. And that's a lot of what it was, is not necessarily complete surprises, but more pronounced versions of things than you would have expected originally.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Just one last thing for Sean, just very quickly. If I'm listening to this and I want to have a look at the latest report or highlights of the report, where would I find that?
Sure. Probably best to reach out to me at swargo@avixa.org. We have some resources on our website, avixa.org, but starting with me can point you in the right direction probably a bit more efficiently.
Perfect. All right. Thanks again for taking some time with me.
Very welcome. Thanks so much, Dave.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.